Hallelujah. Genesis 25. We start with the birth of Jacob and Esau. When the time came for Rebekah to give birth, there were twin boys in her womb. The first to come out was red, his whole body like a hairy garment. They named him Esau. And after this, his brother came out with his hand grasping Esau's heel. So he was named Jacob, means deceiver, supplanter. Isaac was 60 years old when Rebekah gave birth to them, and the boys grew up. And this is a Bible story that I think most of us know, but we're going to hopefully look at it a little differently today. The boys grew up, and Esau became a skillful hunter, a man of the open country, while Jacob was content to stay at home among the tents. Isaac, who had a taste for wild game, loved Esau, but Rebekah loved Jacob. And we say this to families, there's such devastation when one parent favors one and another parent favors the other. And you see in this family the destruction of divided loyalties where each one has a favorite and all of a sudden there's not unity in the family. And what a great lesson for how we treat our children and loving them and treating them all the same. But in verse 29, once when Jacob was cooking some stew, Esau came in from the open country famished, and he said to Jacob, "Quick, let me have some of that red stew. I'm famished," which is why he was also called Edom. And Jacob replied, "First, sell me your birthright." "Look, I'm about to die," Esau said. "What good is the birthright to me?" Jacob said, "Swear to me first." And he swore an oath to him, selling his birthright to Jacob. And Jacob gave Esau some bread and some lentil stew. He ate and drank and got up and left. And Esau despised his birthright. I don't know about you, but as a negotiator, I'm not sure the birthright would have been the first thing that popped in my head when Esau said, "Sell me some stew." I'd have thought, okay, you're doing my chores for a month. I mean, who does chores in here? I mean, you're going to chop the wood at home for a month. His first thought that Jacob had is, I want the birthright where you get the importance of the firstborn, you get priestly responsibilities, you get a double portion down the road. If you want that soup, I want the birthright. We always see this story from the point of view of Esau sold something so valuable, and Esau didn't care about his birthright. But Jacob so coveted the things of God and the blessing of God, that the first thing that comes to his heart and mind is, sell me your birthright. I want more of what the Father has for me. You know, he may have gone about it the wrong way. He may have taken his brother's, the opportunity of his brother's weakness and used it for something he wanted. But praise God that what he wanted was something more, and that his heart was after the things of God. You know, we sometimes get caught up in criticizing people, including Bible people. You know, Jacob's name means deceiver. Jacob wanted right things, but went about it the wrong way. Anybody? In other words, we want something good, but the way we approach it is totally wrong in the sight of God, in the sight of others. Jacob wanted the birthright. He placed importance on his place in the family. He valued the rights and privileges so much that when his brother came in from the fields and said, "I'm famished, I'm about to die," all he wanted was the birthright. I don't know what your desires, and sometimes I'm not sure about mine. We have to stop and evaluate our lives. But Jacob's heart was after more of God. You know, I love the fact that we can be this person that goes about things the wrong way, but we want the right thing, and God honors it. You know, how much worse to have no desire for the things of God. You know, I agree. Esau did not place a value on something that Jacob did. You know, I pray you value the mercy of God that's new every morning. I pray you value the foundation we can have in Christ so that no matter what happens in the political arena, in the moral area, that the storms of life will not throw you. Jacob wanted the birthright. I thought this. He wasn't getting anything out of this for 20 years. You know, how often do we think today? How often do we think this week? I want to be happy this week. I want something that will bless me and I'll have a fantastic week, this month. Here Jacob is negotiating for something that he is not going to see one stinking thing for 20 years. And it's what mattered most to him. You know, it is sobering, isn't it, to think that sometimes we're short-termers. Anybody else other than me, it's like, okay, what do I want for this week? I want to be happy today. What can you do to meet my need today? And here's Jacob. You know, I don't know what he had planned for that stew. Okay, the Bible doesn't tell us what he was going to do with it, how much he made, if it was like a personal pan pizza where he made enough for one or whatever the right analogy is. But we so focus on Esau giving up his birthright. Jacob was willing to go hungry or to give up something that day for something down the road. You know, I think life is like that. Dr. Henry Cloud, and I've talked about this, he said, listen, you get two basic choices. You can have it easy now, and it will be hard later, or you can have it hard now, and it will be easy later, but you don't get both. You don't get easy. If you want easy later, it's hard now. Maybe hard now in terms of working hard, in terms of saving, in terms of the time that you spend at anything that you value. Jacob gave up something right now for something down the road. You know, when we spend time in God's Word, I believe we're investing in down the road. The times when we need God to quicken a scripture, the times when we need God to speak something to us. As Dan shared, when we pray in a couple weeks and we start to pray for our nation, we're investing in down the road. When we take time as a family to do devotions, whatever it might be, he sacrificed right now for down the road. It cost him something that day. Let's not live for just today. Can we just try that? And I'm speaking to myself too. Let's not live for just today, for right after church. Let's have some long-term investments that we make in our futures. Some long-term investments that we make. People do it in the natural and they come up with IRAs and 401ks and all that. Let's invest spiritually in down the road by the things that we place the most importance on. Time in God's presence. Time spent hearing from God. Time spent with one another in fellowshipping. In Psalm 20, it's a prayer of David. Every little bit of it is, it starts out with, may the Lord. And David turned this into a prayer. And he said, may the Lord, in verse 1, answer you when you're in distress. David is sending this out, and he's saying, listen, I'm praying God will answer you when things get tough. May the name of the God of Jacob protect you. Verse 2, may he send you help from the sanctuary, grant you support from Zion. And then 3 and 4, I think it's interesting. Verse 3 says, may he remember all your sacrifices. May God remember the things that you gave up and you let go of for his purposes. Verse 4, may he give you the desires of your heart. It's interesting, the parallel. May God remember your sacrifices. The times when you said no to yourself and yes to God. The times when you put God first, even though today would not be as much fun or enjoyable or pleasing or any of those adjectives as it could be, you said no to that for down the road. And you sacrifice something, whether it's for someone else, so that you could honor God with your life. May he remember, in verse 3, all your sacrifices and accept your burnt offerings. In verse 4, may he give you the desire of your heart. It shows you when you look at Jacob going about things wrong one time after another. The next story we have of Jacob, when we skip ahead in a little bit, his mom finds out that Isaac's going to give the blessing to Esau. And if you remember the story, she does some deception. She dresses up Jacob in Esau's clothes so that he smelled like Esau. I was at a homecoming last night. I was telling someone, and I'm not around smokers a whole lot. In other words, church and school, there's not too many smokers. And last night we were at homecoming, and there were three weddings going on. And every time I stepped outside to make sure no kids were outside, it was this cloud of secondhand smoke from all the people that were outside at the weddings. And I got home, and my clothes smelled. Like, you could tell I had been somewhere. My sport coat was like, Dad, do you smoke now? What's going on here? But Jacob dressed up in Esau's clothes. It's like coming out of Coney Island in the days before smoking was banned. You smelled like Coney Island. In other words, I would come home, and it was like there was no lying and saying, where were you? Oh, I was at church praying. No, you weren't. You were at Coney Island. I can smell it on you. There's no hiding certain things. Jacob dressed up in Esau's clothes, and then they took some fur, animal fur, and put it on his arms and his hands. And they totally deceived Isaac into praying a blessing over Jacob. But do you know what? God honored it, and Jacob was blessed, because there's something about God that he honors the desires of our hearts, and he honors our desires for more of him, even when we're a little messed up in how we go about it. Can anybody think of times when you wanted the right thing, but wow, did you go about it the wrong way? You wanted to see change, and you just decided that you would just plow ahead and just let someone know what you thought and how they should change, rather than praying about it or rather than being quiet. The right thing, the wrong way. You know, 1 Samuel 16:7 says, man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at our hearts. And God's interested in the state of our hearts. He's interested in the desire of our hearts. Because we can have right desires and go about it the wrong way, or we can have wrong desires and we can go about it and end up in the wrong place. In Genesis chapter 26, I want you to turn to that for a second. And this is just an encouragement to parents. In this entire chapter, it says in verse 12, Isaac planted crops in that land in the same year, reaped 100-fold because the Lord blessed him. He became rich and his wealth continued to grow until he became very wealthy. In another verse, it says that he began to dig wells that had been plugged up. And I say this to parents. The blessing of the Lord being seen on your life is so important for your family. The blessing of the Lord being seen on your life. Jacob and Esau saw their father digging wells that had been plugged up. Jacob and Esau saw their father not giving up when things got difficult. You know, they dug a well, and the enemy came and fought him for it. They dug another well, and the enemy came and said, no, this one's mine. And well after well, there was a battle, but Isaac kept digging wells until he found the right place and until there was a well for him and his family. You know, those around us, because it's not just those with kids, need to see that we don't give up. We can make mistakes. That's not the issue. But we can't give up. It's okay to fail. It's not okay to give up. And sometimes we get this crazy idea, it's not okay to fail. It's okay to fail. Jacob failed time and again, but the desire of his heart was for more of God. Verse 28 even of Genesis 26, even other people, when the enemy came to talk to Isaac, it says, we saw clearly that the Lord was with you. And I'll tell you, those around us need to see the blessing of the Lord on our choices and our decisions and what we do. Philippians 1:10, the scripture that I said earlier, that you may be able to see what is best. And I want that to be a prayer for each of us. There's a ton of good in the world. There's a ton of things that are acceptable and they're okay and they are not sin, but there are things that are best. And choosing what's best is so hard. Sometimes good comes in a better looking package. Sometimes good has some nice advertisement wrapped around it. Sometimes good blesses us today and best blesses us 10 years ago, 10 years down the road. We have to choose good, better, or best in so many areas. And Paul prayed that you may be able to discern and choose what is best. It's interesting that even in that day, 2,000 years ago, there was the battle to settle for good enough. There was the battle to choose something that was good enough, that was okay, and maybe not God's best, but it will get you by and it will look okay. 2,000 years ago, Paul had to battle having a desire for the right things and placing the right importance on what there was. You know, you come to Genesis 27, and I mentioned it earlier, the blessing of the Lord. I hope we all are willing to go to extremes to see God's blessing on our lives. But when you look for the blessing of the Lord, Rebekah was willing to do some pretty crazy stuff, willing to deceive her own husband in dressing up her son as his brother and making him smell different. She cooked the food so Isaac thought that it was Jacob and not Esau. You know, the extremes that we will go to for the blessing of the Lord. She wanted to see God's blessing on her son's life. And Jacob yielded to what his mother directed. You know, in that little video, I couldn't help but think, sometimes we want what's best and we want our family, our kids happy, but we can't think short term. We can't think, I want them happy today. We have got to think, I want to lay a foundation so that whether I'm here or not, whether I'm around or not, a right foundation that no matter what happens, they can live their lives with peace. They can, no matter what storms come, that they'll be able to weather them. Jacob got the blessing of his father. Isaac prayed for Jacob. He prayed the blessing over him, but it came at a great cost. Jacob never saw either of his parents again. The mother that loved him, that would do anything for him, Jacob never saw after he left after that little episode. She placed a value on the blessing of the Lord on her son's life. You know, for parents, that'll mean making choices. How do we spend our time? How do we invest our time in family activities? What are our priorities? Whether it relates to church or to family time or devotional time, what releases the blessing of the Lord that will stay on my children's lives and be there forever? You know, that's got to be our desire. That's got to be our desire. But Esau, and I think we all face, you know, Rebecca had two sons in her womb. There's a little Esau and there's a little Jacob in each of us. She was pregnant with two boys, one after the flesh, one desiring the things of the Spirit. That is every one of us here today. There's a good side, and there's a side that is a little rascally. Amen? Anybody want to? Yes. There's a side in us that wants God's best, that wants to place importance on the things of God and what He has and wants that birthright and blessing. But there's Esau in all of us. And we're hungry and we want something today that will satisfy, because this isn't working out. And this isn't what I signed up for along the way. And I thought things would be better now. There's something in all of us where we fight. Am I going to be Jacob today, or am I going to be Esau today? And I don't think there's an exception. I don't think there's an exception where we choose which are we going to give in to. Are we going to do the things that long-term bring the blessing of the Lord? Or are we going to settle for okay today and we'll worry about down the road when it comes? You know, the five wise and foolish virgins, and I haven't mentioned this for so long, but think of it. Five of them brought extra oil. They took the time, whatever it was in that day, to fill up their containers with extra oil. And as they went out late at night, not knowing what would happen, they invested in the future by giving of their time. The five foolish virgins didn't want to be bothered. They didn't want the extra effort to fill them up because they didn't see the need. And when the marriage was delayed and all of a sudden things weren't working out the way they should, the five wise that had taken the time to invest in their future received the blessing, entered in. I pray that we'll figure out a way to let Jacob win in our lives. I pray we'll figure out a way to let Jacob win in our lives, where we invest in the things that are eternal. We place importance on the things of God, that we value the things of God. In Genesis 28, verses 10 to 15, Jacob finds out that Esau is going to kill him, and he runs for his life. You know, he had deceived him twice. The first time he got the birthright. And if you just think in the natural, that meant when Dad died, instead of Esau getting two-thirds of everything Isaac owned, Esau got one-third, and now Jacob gets two-thirds. And so it was going to make a difference down the road. So Esau sold one-third of what his father had, which was a whole bunch, for soup and bread. And then when it came time for the blessing, he lost out again and he got tricked. And he's going to kill Jacob. So Jacob flees. Verse 10, I want to read this. Because I don't know what you guys think, but how many think God should be mad at Jacob by now? How many think like Jacob should be in a whole heap of trouble? And if he prays, God's going to appear to him and God's going to say some things like, I am so sick of you. I am tired of you. How dare you come before me? If you think you can trick everyone and then come into here like you're goody two shoes, you can forget it, Jacob. How many think I'm going to read these verses and God is going to be, I can't say that word in church, God's going to be mad? Anybody think God's going to be mad? Yeah, you think so? Okay, verse 10. Here we go. Jacob left Beersheba, set out for Haran, and when he reached a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. And taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head and lay down to sleep. And he had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth with its top reaching to heaven and the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And there above it stood the Lord. And he said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth. And you will spread out to the west and east, the north and south, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I don't get it, you guys. I don't get it. Here, he deceives his brother. He lies about who he is. Hey, Dad, it's me, Esau. Would you pray for me? And Dad says, boy, your voice sounds like Jacob. Come closer. He comes closer and he says, yeah, well, you smell like Esau. Yeah, you're hairy like Esau. Okay, I'll pray for you. You know, God cares about what you desire, even if you mess up once in a while. And I'm learning this lesson. God is not so much performance-driven where everything has to be perfect, but he wants our hearts after him. And if our hearts are after him, what Joyce shared, there is mercy. What Linda shared, his mercies are new every morning. Here's a new day in Jacob's life. He's left his family. He has left his home. And God said, listen, everyone on earth is going to be blessed through you and your offspring. Verse 15, I'm with you. I'll watch out with you wherever you go. I'll bring you back to this land. And he did, but after his parents both died, I won't leave you until I've done what I've promised you. I read that and I just say, Lord, will you give me a desire for more of you? I know there's an Esau in me. I pray you will help me, Lord. I pray you will help Jacob to win in my life. But Lord, will you give me a desire for you? And then in verse 20, Jacob's response. And it says, Jacob made a vow saying, if God will be with me, will watch over me on this journey I'm taking, and will give me food to eat and clothes to wear so that I return safely to my father's household, then the Lord will be my God. And this stone that I've set up as a pillar will be God's house. And of all that you give me, I will give you a tenth. Sometimes people come and say that tithing was based in the law and it doesn't apply to Christians. We see tithing as an act of faith by Jacob where he says, Lord, I will give you a tenth. I will tithe on everything you give me based out of a relationship with God, based out of faith, not based on the law. And so Jacob goes on from here. And one last scripture in chapter 32, and then I'm going to invite Carrie to come. Chapter 32, in between this experience, Jacob is still Jacob. And Jacob decides that he wants to marry Rachel and okay, how do I word this? Have you ever seen someone bad at something and God's way of dealing with it is to help them to meet someone twice as bad at it? In other words, you know, you have a problem with sarcasm and then you meet like the queen or king of sarcasm and you realize, wow, I need to get rid of this in my life. This is terrible. Or pick your poison, whatever it is. You meet the master of this area. So Jacob the deceiver shows up at Uncle Laban's house. That's where his mom sent him, her brother, to find a wife. Falls in love with Rachel, and they work out a deal. And set work 7 years, and I will give you Rachel for your wife. And 7 years, the Bible says, they fly by in a moment of time. He's young, he's in love, he can't wait to marry her. wedding night. It's dark, I guess, in the Middle East, and there's no lights like here. And he wakes up in the morning, and it's not Rachel. It's her sister, older sister, Leah. And he's like, what have you done? And Laban, who, if Jacob thought he could deceive, Laban was better at it. And Laban said, well, Jacob, we don't give the old, we can't give the youngest away first. It's really against our custom. I'm sorry I told you that. I wasn't really thinking when I made that promise, but if you work 7 more years for me for free, then you can have Rachel. Jacob worked 7 more years. 14 years to get his wife that he fell in love with. Then he worked 6 more years to accumulate some goods for his family. And Laban wasn't going to give him anything. The Bible says that 10 times Laban changed his wages and changed the deal of what he was going to work at. When Jacob finally leaves that house, we come to chapter 32. His father has died. Jacob and Esau are going to see each other at the funeral. And he spends his time in total fear of what his brother was going to do to him. And so there's a section of scripture, 32:22, and then I'll invite Carrie and Linda to come. But I guess that there's got to be something in each of us where there's a Jacob side that we know is right, and there's an Esau side that we say, Lord, will you help me to get rid of this? And Esau is still around 20 years later. Jacob's circumstances have not really changed. And Jacob wrestles with God. Jacob wrestles with God. Verse 22. Jacob took his 2 wives, 2 female servants, 11 sons, crossed the ford of the Jabbok, and after he had sent them across the stream, he sent over all his possessions, and he was left alone, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. And when the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. The man said, let me go, it's daybreak. And Jacob replied, I won't let you go unless you bless me. You know, it's amazing. His thigh had gotten injured. He was hurt, and he refused to let go until God blessed him. And I love the translation. You've heard me say this before. I won't let you go until you change me. You know, and I think of the stuff that I want God to change in me. And I don't know if there's any of you that got something you say, Lord, I want you to change. But Jacob did everything the wrong way, except he had a desire for the right stuff. And Jacob wouldn't give up, and Jacob wouldn't let go. And you know, Jacob received a name change. The verses go on. He's wrestling with God. And in verse 27, the man asked him, what is your name? Jacob answered. And the man said, your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have wrestled, struggled with God and with humans and have overcome. You know, I pray that God would bring us to that place where our desires are lined up, and whatever change that means for each one of us, where our desires are for the things of God, for the blessing of God on our lives, and we're willing to adjust what needs to be adjusted. We're willing to choose what's best so that we can have God's blessing. And then I pray like Jacob that we won't give up. Won't give up wrestling with God. Won't give up wanting to see the Esau that is in each one of us defeated. Amen? Can we bow our heads? Linda, if you would come, worship team. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, we just thank you for today, Lord, and the lesson of Jacob, that though he wasn't perfect, though he had some stuff in him that was pretty messed up, Lord, that you honored the desire of his heart. And I just I thank you, Lord, because I feel like in my life, and I'd be surprised if there aren't a few more here, that we feel so unworthy and we just feel, Lord, my life is such a mess. But yet when our heart is after you, Lord, you show mercy, you show grace, and your blessing will flow. And Lord, help us, I pray, to not let go of you even today, Lord, to look to you, O God, to look with a new sense of, Lord, will you show me what's most important? Lord, will you show me what's foundation building? Lord, will you show me what it is that you want to do in my life? And just like Jacob had a fresh start when he saw the ladder of God, had another fresh start when he wrestled with God, I pray today, Lord, that you will reveal that though there are things in us that are not right, that you are longing for a deeper relationship, longing to pour out your blessing. And I just pray we'll respond to you. We'll respond to you this morning, even as we take communion. Hallelujah, Lord.